and gentlemen of the radio audience. This is Graham McNamee speaking from the Navy Yard, Washington, D.C. Just a moment ago, the last turn of the propellers of the Memphis brought her close into the dock.
In the Navy Yard, there are 25,000 people or so, everybody who could possibly get a pass to get in. And under beautiful skies and also under what seems to be most of the airplanes in the world, the lines of the Memphis are out now. They're on the dock, and the boys are making her fast.
Guns we just listened to for the salute of Secretary Wilbur of the Navy. The entire white uniformed crew of the Memphis is now lined up at attention along the side nearest the dock, awaiting Lindbergh. Lindbergh is coming down the gang, walking slowly, his hat in his hand, quietly, dignified, a darn nice boy. His mother is following. She is on the arm of the Secretary of War. And again, we get the salute. Secretary Davis is with the mother of Lindbergh.
It seems to me that Colonel Lindbergh, he's taking off his hat and bowing to the crowd and standing up. His mother seems to be still seated. And now I see the policemen and have to push some of the crowd back onto the sidewalk. He's entirely surrounded by cavalry. I hadn't thought that. There's a group of cavalry and then Colonel Lindbergh's car and then more cavalry and then the rest of the parade. Now I can see Mrs. Lindbergh, and as they turn for a minute, I can see Lindy himself receiving with his usual modest demeanor the plaudits of this huge crowd. Now listen to this cheering.
Everyone on the reviewing stand turns back interestedly to watch this boy arrive. Everybody in the seats, 150,000 people, are straining their necks and climbing onto anything an inch high to 3 feet high, from a piece of wood to a chair, to see if they can't get the first glimpse. Photographers, of course, as usual, are all over the lot. Thousands of them up here. Here's the boy. He's come forward. Unassuming, quiet, a little droop to his shoulders, he's tired out. Very serious and awfully nice.
Thank you. countrymen. 25 years ago, I was born in Detroit, Michigan, a boy representing the best traditions of this country, of a stock known for its deeds of adventure and exploration. His father, moved with a desire for public service, was a member of Congress for several terms. His mother, who dowered her son with her own modesty and charm, is with us today, engaged in the vital profession of school teaching. She has permitted neither money nor fame to interfere with her fidelity to her duties. Too young to have enlisted in the World War, her son became a student at one of the big state universities. His interest in aviation led him to an Army aviation school, and in 1925, he was graduated as an airplane pilot. In November 26, he had reached the rank of captain in the Officers' Reserve Corps. On a morning just 3 weeks ago yesterday, this wholesome, earnest, fearless, courageous product of America rose into the air from Long Island on a monoplane christened the Spirit of St. Louis in honor of his home and his supporters. It was no haphazard adventure. After months of most careful preparation, supported by a valiant character, driven by an unconquerable will, and inspired by the imagination and the spirit of his Viking ancestors, this reserve officer set wings across the dangerous stretches of the North Atlantic. He was alone. His destination was Paris. 33 hours and 30 minutes later, in the evening of the second day, he landed at his destination on the French flying field of Le Bourget. He had traveled 3,600 miles and established a new and remarkable record. The execution of his project was a perfect exhibition of art. This country will always remember the way in which he was received by the people of France, by their president, and by their government. It was all the more remarkable because they were mourning the disappearance of their intrepid countrymen who had tried to span the Atlantic on a Western flight. Our messenger of peace and goodwill had broken down another barrier of time and space and brought two great peoples into closer communion. In less than a day and a half, he had crossed the ocean over which Columbus had traveled for 69 days and the Pilgrim Fathers for 66 days on their way to the New World. But above all, in showering applause and honor upon this genial, modest American youth, with the naturalness, the simplicity, and the poise of true greatness, France had the opportunity to show clearly her goodwill for America and our people. It is our great privilege to welcome back to his native land, on behalf of his own people, who have a deep affection for him and have been thrilled by his splendid achievements, a colonel of the United States Officers Reserve Corps, an illustrious citizen of our republic, a conqueror of the air, and strengthener of the ties which bind us to our sister nations across the sea. and as President of the United States, I bestow the Distinguished Flying Cross as a symbol of appreciation for what he is and what he has done upon Colonel Charles A. Lindbergh.
On the evening of the 24th of May last, I arrived in the Bourget, Paris. During the week I spent in France, the day in Belgium, and the short period in London and England, the people requested that I bring back to the people of America one message. You have seen the affection of the people of France for the people of America demonstrated to you. Thank you.